The Class Education Exhibition. The mournful sound of a Chinese fiddle echoed around the booths in the school exhibition hall. It's only a preview, I thought. I was a veteran of many speech contests, and I should not have been so nervous. But the school leaders and district leaders were coming to evaluate us, and because of that article and the workers' revolt, the preview became especially important to me. The article had been like a bomb blowing holes in my life. In our alley, at school, and at Mom's office, people gossiped about our family. I had thought I was going to be kicked out of the exhibition. Each night as I lay in bed, I told myself that I would rather quit than be rejected. I would talk to Chang Hong the next day. Then each day in school, I had been seized by a new determination not to give in to pressure. I knew that I could represent the class better than anyone else. Why should I quit? Why let those old landlords ruin my life? Finally, I had decided. Everyone already knew the worst about me. Let them think what they would. I would do an excellent job to prove myself. I had to win my honor back. The exhibition hall seemed like a new building. The partitions between the cafeteria and the gym had been taken down, and the space had been redivided into 12 booths. The pictures, photos, drawings, and clay statues displayed in each booth gave the hall a strong, serious atmosphere. I was narrating the part on the horrors of the old China. "Now, let's look at two more of Liu Wenkai's slaves," I said, gesturing to the statues of the infamous landlord and his victims. "This is the blind old grandfather. Every day, in bitter cold or in scorching sun, his little granddaughter led him out to beg for their food. With the little food that he managed to receive, how could he repay his debt to the landlord? Each year, the debt increased. Finally, Liu Wenkai forced him to give his granddaughter in payment. How could he do that? She was his eyes, his whole life. But what else could he do to escape from this brutal landlord? With tears in his sightless eyes, he said to her, 'My dearest, you must go with Mr. Liu. It is not because I do not love you. It is that black-hearted landlord who is tearing us apart.'" My voice trembled slightly, and I became more and more emotional as I spoke. The poor granddaughter had never been separated from her grandfather before. He was the one who tucked her quilt around her each night, and he was the one who comforted her when she cried. I pointed to the statues. "Look at her, crying piteously as she is pulled away by the landlord, her hand stretching out to her grandfather." I was nearly in tears as I finished my presentation. Dozens of evaluators were wiping their eyes as Teacher Yu moved them on to the next booth. Even Bai Shan, who was in charge of the exhibit's design and had heard my presentation several times in rehearsal, was blinking back tears. I heaved a long sigh and collapsed onto my stool. I wiped my sweaty hands on my pants and picked up a book to fan myself.
"Ji Li,"
I heard someone outside the window calling me. I raised the bamboo blind and saw An Yi and Lin Lin.
"What are you doing here?"
"We wanted to see your presentation, but they wouldn't let us in. We had to stand here and listen to you. You did a terrific job." An Yi's face was glowing. "It's true. You were very good." Lin Lin was more reserved, but just as sincere. "Well, it's such a touching story that anyone could make it work." I leaned farther out the window. Someone patted me on the back.
"What are you doing? Get in here! Chairman Jin is coming!"
Hastily, I drew back inside. The visitors who had just left were standing in front of me again. Chang Hong whispered to me, "Chairman Jin wants to talk to you." I shivered. I knew this would happen, I thought. Now he was going to say I was a landlord's granddaughter and humiliate me in front of everyone. I should have quit after all. I was so flustered that I knocked over a stool as I approached Chairman Jin. Chairman Jin towered over me. I looked up into his serious eyes and immediately lowered mine. "This class education exhibition is a very powerful weapon," he said. "Appropriately used, it can strengthen class identification and deepen the hatred of class enemies. Your presentation was very emotional, and the audience was deeply affected. I hope you can help the others to improve their presentations and make the exhibition a success. I was puzzled. Was he praising me? I looked around the group and saw nothing but approval in their eyes. By the way, I suggest you add a quotation from Chairman Mao's works to the end of the presentation so you can finish on an inspiring note. Chairman Jin clasped his hands behind his back and looked at the others as if he were asking for their opinions. Everyone nodded. Chang Hong was taking notes with a proud smile on her face. They went on to another booth to make their suggestions. I slowly sat down, shouting to myself, "I did it!" During math class a few days later, Teacher Ho from the Revolutionary Committee popped his head into my classroom. He barely glanced at Teacher Li before saying curtly, "Zhang Jili, come to our office right away. Someone wants to talk to you." I stood up nervously, wondering what it could be. I felt my classmates' piercing eyes as I mechanically left the classroom. Teacher Ho walked ahead of me without seeming to notice my presence. I followed silently. I tried not to panic. Maybe it was not bad. Maybe it was about the exhibition. Maybe Chairman Jin wanted me to help the others with their presentations. At the end of the long, dark hallway, Teacher Ho silently motioned me into the office and then walked away. I wiped my hands on my trousers and slowly opened the door. The thin-faced foreman from Dad's theater was right in front of me. My face must have shown my dismay.
Sit down, don't be afraid. Chairman Jin pointed to the empty chair.
These comrades from your father's work unit are just here to have a study session with you. It's nothing to worry about. I sat down, dumbly. I had thought about their coming to my home, but never imagined this. They were going to expose my family in front of my teachers and classmates. I would have no pride left. I would never be an educable child again. Thin Face sat opposite me with a woman I had never seen before. Teacher Yong was there, too, his eyes encouraging me. Thin Face came straight to the point.
"Your father's problems are very serious."
His cold eyes nailed me to my seat.
"You may have read the article in the Workers' Revolt that exposed your family's filthy past."
I slumped down in my chair without taking my eyes off his face.
"In addition to coming from a landlord family, your father committed some serious mistakes during the anti-rightist movement several years ago. But he still obstinately refuses to confess."
His cold manner became a little more animated.
"Of course we won't tolerate this. We have decided to make an example of him. We are going to have a struggle meeting of the entire theater system to criticize him and force him to confess."
He suddenly pounded the table with his fist. The cups on the table rattled. I tore my eyes away from him and stared at a cup instead.
"As I told you before, you are your own person. If you want to make a clean break with your black family, then you can be an educable child, and we will welcome you to our revolutionary ranks."
He gave Chairman Jin a look, and Chairman Jin chimed in,
"That's right, we welcome you."
Zhang Jili has always done well at school. In addition to doing very well in her studies, she participates in educational reform, Teacher Zhang added.
"That's very good. We knew that you had more sense than to follow your father," Thin Face said with a brief, frozen smile. "Now you can show your revolutionary determination."
He paused.
"We want you to testify against your father at the struggle meeting."
I closed my eyes. I saw Dad standing on a stage, his head bowed, his name written in large black letters and then crossed out in red ink on a sign hanging from his neck. I saw myself standing in the middle of the stage, facing thousands of people, condemning Dad for his crimes, raising my fist to lead the chant, "Down with Zhang Xireng." I saw Dad looking at me hopelessly, tears on his face. I looked at Teacher Zhang for help. He looked away. The woman from the theater spoke. It's really not such a hard thing to do. The key is your class stance. The daughter of our former party secretary resolved to make a clean break with her mother. When she went on stage to condemn her mother, she actually slapped her face. Of course, we don't mean that you have to slap your father's face. The point is that as long as you have the correct class stance, it will be easy to testify. Her voice grated on my ears. There is something you can do to prove you are truly Chairman Mao's child. Thin Face spoke again. I am sure you can tell us some things your father said and did that show his landlord and rightist mentality. I stared at the table, but I could feel his eyes boring into me. What can you tell us? But I don't know anything, I whispered. I don't know. I am sure you can remember something if you think about it, Thin Face said. A man like him could not hide his true beliefs from a child as smart as you. He must have made comments critical of Chairman Mao and the Cultural Revolution. I am sure you are loyal to Chairman Mao and the Communist Party. Tell us. But my father never said anything against Chairman Mao, I protested weakly. I would tell you if he did. My voice grew stronger with conviction. He never said anything against the party. Now, you have to choose between two roads. Thin Face looked straight into my eyes. You can break with your family and follow Chairman Mao, or you can follow your father and become an enemy of the people. His voice grew more severe. In that case, we would have many more study sessions with your brother and sister, too, and the Red Guard Committee and the school leaders. Think about it. We will come back to talk to you again. Thin Face and the woman left, saying they would be back to get my statement. Without knowing how I got there, I found myself in a narrow passageway between the school building and the schoolyard wall. The gray concrete walls closed around me, and a slow drizzle dampened my cheeks. I could not go back to the classroom, and I could not go home. I felt like a small animal that had fallen into a trap, alone and helpless, and sure that the hunter was coming. All night I hardly slept. I saw Thin Face's hard eyes, and I saw tears on Dad's cheeks. In the early morning, I finally fell into a troubled sleep. I awoke just half an hour before I had to report to the exhibition. I washed and dressed and ran out the door, still rubbing my swollen eyes. I pushed yesterday's events out of my mind. Today was the opening of the exhibition, and I was determined to do a good job. I approached the exhibition hall. Through the open door, I could see everyone sitting in a circle. The briefing had already started. I broke into a run. Someone stepped toward me from the shadow of the holly bush beside the door. Bai Shan. I knew he had been taking an interest in me, but I had never showed I noticed. I did not want to be gossiped about. I ran by, wondering what he was doing there. Zhang Jili, he said softly. Brace yourself. I paused, but I was already inside. Chairman Jin looked up at me. Following his eyes, all the students turned toward me as well. Chairman Jin stared at me, and I stopped, rooted to the floor. For an eternity, I was surrounded by a deafening silence. Zhang Jili, Chairman Jin said at last. Yesterday we, that is, the Revolutionary Committee, discussed your situation. Because of your political situation, we decided to let Fang Fang replace you. You can go home now. I'll talk to you later. His face was cold and closed. I looked at the others, those who had laughed and joked and prepared the presentation with me for months. Some looked sympathetic, and some turned their eyes away. I could not bear to see any more. I ran out of the hall. Zhang Jili? I heard someone calling my name, but I just lowered my head and kept running. Zhang Jili! Someone passed and stopped in front of me. Bai Shan again. I turned my eyes away. I struggled to look calm, to keep him from seeing my shame. I did not want his pity. He looked at me for a few seconds before he spoke. Here, This is yours. He handed me something. It was dark green. A book. A dictionary with Zhang written in the corner. I had left it in the exhibition booth. I did not say a word. I did not look at him. I did not take the book. I just ran away.